clean hands and a pure heart. You know, getting older, in all honesty, for me, is not something I look forward to. And I look forward for Jesus coming soon, because I can't stand this forgetting things. Oh my, Lord, forgive me. Clean hands and a pure heart. Also, with old age, we go, you know, I know that, let me say this on behalf of Vince and Alice, how much I appreciate them and the work that they do at our church. This week, I guess it was Saturday evening, Alice says, "What's your sermon for next week?" And I says, "Alice, I hadn't even thought about the sermon for next week yet, but I will work on it, and I'll call you on Monday night." And of course, I wasn't ready. We had driven to Kentucky. We had our taxes done on Monday afternoon. We went to Highland Academy, visited with our granddaughter, and it was about 9:30 or 10 o'clock before we arrived in Louisville. And so Tuesday morning, I called Vince, and I says, "Vince, I really don't have, I had not prepared my sermon yet, but I said, here's what it's going to be: clean hands and a pure heart." Now, Vince is getting old too. So he put down, now I don't know if it's Vince or Alice, because in the bulletin we have three hands and a pure heart. So something got lost in the translation. Now, it's all right. So I'm making excuses for all us who are older this morning. I started to work on the sermon, and you know, as hard as I worked on that sermon, I could not put it together. And part of the reason was because I knew I had to preach the sermon there, but I had to prepare a sermon for down at the other church. And Thursday, because we got back in on Thursday morning, it was 3:30 in the morning. We were up, I think it was 8:30. We were awakened, and that was all right. I had visits to do at the hospital. June had open heart surgery on Wednesday evening, and she's doing well. So we went to the hospital. I went and saw Sister Johnson, and anyhow, Thursday didn't accomplish, as far as working on my sermon, I didn't accomplish a whole lot. So Friday, I was going to get and really work at this thing. You know, as hard as I tried, I could not put this thing together. But I did. I did prepare a sermon, but I preached it down at the other church this morning. And it was a good one, by the way. And I'm going to share it with you, but the time is not now. And in fact, I gave them the title down there as "Clean Hands and a Pure Heart" are it also. And I worked it into the sermon that I did, but it is not totally right for our communion service. But playing in the back of my mind is that, you know, what is worship all about? Now, some people come and say, "Well, I didn't get much out of the preacher's sermon today." If that's your attitude, or that's what you said, then you came to church for the wrong reason. Folks, you don't come to church to listen to me preach. You come to worship God. And there's nothing says in the Bible or in the church manual that you should expect a sermon every week. So I decided we are going to stay with the theme, clean hands and a pure heart, but I want to give you an opportunity to be an encouragement to someone else this morning about having clean hands and a pure heart. And I could begin by asking, when did you first know or come to understand how important it was to have clean hands and a pure heart? I remember, and as from tradition, and it is only tradition. I have absolutely no way of verifying, other than the fact I read it somewhere, the fact that King Arthur and his knights, you know, Sir Lancelot, you remember these stories? They were Christian. And every morning they would come together and study the Bible, and they would have a toast. And the toast was that God give us clean hands and a dirty Bible. Clean hands and a dirty Bible. They didn't want to use their sword to be killing anyone or hurting anyone, but they used their Bible. It was used. And that's what we should be doing, is using our Bibles. I well remember how important it is to have clean hands and a pure heart. I was just the little fellow. My grandfather was also deaf. Now, he didn't have the privilege of wearing hearing aids, and that might have been all right. They might have been the smart people back there, because let me tell you, we live in a world that is filled with noise. It's everywhere. It comes at us. And some of the most pleasant moments that I enjoy today is just taking these things out. And I can't even hear Donna. But in every sense of the word, deafness is all right. I like it. But when we miscommunicate, it's not a good thing. But let me tell you the story. My grandfather was deaf, and I was just a little boy, maybe 6 or 7, and grandfather had, for some reason or other, he would go around and he would talk to himself, and he would mutter. I don't know, you know, he was in the barn feeding the sheep and the goats and the horse and taking care of things, but seems like he was always muttering to himself. But maybe he was talking to the sheep and the goats and the horse. I'm not exactly sure. But this one particular day, we were out in the workshop, and he was at a plane, and he was planing this piece of board, and he was saying something, and I spoke to him, and he didn't understand me. So he turned around and he says, "What did you say?" And I said, "Blah blah blah blah," and I made fun at him, you know. And grandfather looked at me like I was never looked at before, and it scared me to death. So he says, "What are you doing? You should never make fun at anyone." And of course, I was heading for the door by this time, and grandfather was behind me. He was going to teach me a lesson, and he did. Now, I got across the yard. I was out the gate just before he was, but he kept coming. Now, my grandfather had a pair of rubber boots on. They were up to his knees, these rubber boots. And I just had a pair of sneakers on. And my little legs just went as fast as they could. But each step, I could hear him getting closer to me until he reached out and he grabbed me by the shoulder, the shirt, picked me right off my feet, and he held me out and told me I should never make fun or poke fun at anybody. He says it wasn't the right thing to do. And he put me across his knee, and he paddled my tail. And I want to tell you, it was a lesson that I learned very, very young. Another lesson that I learned while I was very, very young was, we talked about the theme, thou shalt not steal. I remember stealing some apples. And do you know what happens when you steal, boys and girls? If you love Jesus. And my mother taught us to pray, bless her heart. Every night she would teach us to pray. She would read the Bible stories. A call porter came to our door and left a book by Arthur Spaulding called Golden Treasuries of Bible Stories. And there was a story that I liked the story, but I hated to see the pictures. It was the story of Joseph being put into the pit and left there. I couldn't stand it. I'd go to bed and dream about that all night long. And would just, I could like the story, but didn't like to see the pictures. But stealing, it was just as bad as looking at that picture. I felt guilty. I felt awful. And I came to learn the lesson at a very early age. It's very important to have clean hands. Because if you got clean hands, you can go to bed and sleep at night. No guilty feelings. When everything is made right after you do something wrong, it is a wonderful experience. Now, I've said enough. I want to talk about clean hands and a pure heart. When did you discover this? Or what is something that you have done as of late to remind you how important it is to have clean hands and a pure heart? Anybody bold enough to share with us as a whole this morning? Go ahead, Ann. Now, you got to come. I want everybody to hear this. So.
I don't need that. I don't need that.
You don't need that? No. I want these hard of hearing people over here. So
oh, that's
can
all right.
Hear.
My voice carries.
Okay.
You got a big mouth.
You're my friend.
Well,
Pastor, somebody's in that window waving.
Oh, you can't hear.
Alex can't hear.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. What reminded me of that and what it means to be a Christian? I am a fanatic about ordering books, you know, track 21 days and send it back, you know. So sometime before the Thanksgiving holidays, I'd ordered a cookbook, and it came and got caught up in the clutter. And so they sent me this bill. And when the bill came, I says, what are they talking about? I don't owe them any money. I don't have this book. And so me, I get on the telephone. I did not receive this book. I am not sending you this money. So that was like November. So in January, I was in my clutter. And lo and behold, I came across the books that I ordered. And I had no hesitation. I says, I have to call them and to tell them that I did receive the books. I wasn't telling them a lie when I told them that I had not received them, but I found them in the clutter, and that if they would please send me another invoice, I would send them their money. And, you know, when I called up and I told her, and she hesitated like a money, well, you know, we didn't wrote that off. I noticed what she was saying. We've written this off. Why in the world would you call and tell me this? But, you know, for me, that was what it was that I knew, because I was a Christian, I had the obligation to pay the books, even though I knew they had already written them off of their books.
That's good. You know, of all things, I hate apologizing or having to say that I'm sorry more than anything else. And therefore, I try my very best not to get myself into trouble. I want to have clean hands and a pure heart. That's a good story. It's a humbling experience to do something like that. Someone else, clean hands and a pure heart. What can you share with us as an encouragement? Okay, Lillian, let me get in here and let you speak in this thing.
I was in Walmart shopping, and I had bought some groceries. Then I went over to another area and picked up a bottle of lotion. I had already paid for my groceries. So when I went up to the counter, I think I had bought another item. So the lotion was down in the cart with the rest of the groceries. So I only found out when I was putting the groceries in the car, there was this lotion. And I knew I hadn't paid for it. I knew that I could have just drove the car on off, but I went back to the store and gave them the money for the lotion. So the clerk thought that, oh, that was something, that I was already out with the lotion. But as Ann said, my conscience knew that I had not paid for it. So
if you'd have brought that home, Would you have slept well that night?
No. No, that's why I paid for it.
So that's the reason. I have to make it right as soon as possible, because without clean and without clean hands and a pure heart, there's no peace. Brother Clayton or Wolford.
Yeah. My story is very much similar to hers. I was coming out of Walmart's, and they had these little free booklets advertising some of them. And I saw this book over there, and I picked it up. When I got home, I noticed they had a sign on it that says 25 cents. So the next time I went back to Walmart, I went up and picked the magazine up, paid for it, and then put it back.
Okay. That's good. Sandy.
I will tell on me in a second. In a heartbeat, I will tell on me. As some of you know, there's a little lady from the nursing home that I'm going and taking her out and doing things with her. Okay. In order to do that, I have to get in the back of the van. And that is a problem with me. It gets my leg to acting up, and I get very stiff. And as I get tired and my leg bothers me, I get a very bad disposition. We went to Taco Bell and went in, and I got something for us to eat, and we were going to have water. So I paid for the food, and they give us the cups for the water. Well, I pushed the button to get the water, and I never could get the water to run clear water. It had a little bit of that stuff in it because...
Lemon juice. Whatever.
Yes. And I got aggravated with it after two or three times of trying. And didn't like that because it was real sweet. So instead of getting water, I got the cold drinks and walked out. Didn't say a word to nobody. And by the time we dropped her off where she's living in the nursing home, I was in a very bad disposition. It proceeded to get worse by the time I got home. And the next couple of days, it was real horrible. And the next time we come into town, I told James, I said, I want to get something to eat at Taco Bell. And I went in and got our order, and I paid for some cold drinks. I have not told James what I did. They didn't know it, and I never mentioned it. That was just between God and me. But that was quite a few days there, because we only come to town twice a week, and only once a week do I go in to places of business to do anything. So I had a solid week of really talking to me and the Lord about my actions. And
so when you went and saw the manager, what did he say to you?
I didn't go see the manager. I did it in hiding. And it still bothers me.
Well, you've got to go back to see him.
And,
I paid
for it the last time, but I didn't tell anybody until just now what I had done. And this is the best place to unload how I done and how it really bothered me. Do you know what the Lord did? This past Thursday, I think it was this past Thursday when I went and got my little friend at the nursing home, my leg did not bother me as much the whole time that I had her, and getting in and out of the vehicle and getting in the back, to where my disposition did not interfere with my better judgment. But I still feel guilty that I did this thing. I know God forgive me for it, But the thought that I did this, and just it just tears me up that I did any such a thing. And it's not a good way to do.
You know, when the children, I remember our youngest boy, Chris, he went into the store, and I'm not sure if it was a package of gum or a chocolate bar. He came out, but I marched him right back in and got the manager to talk with him and have him say, sorry, it's a terrible thing to go through, and even now. That's why I say I don't like apologizing or having to go back and say that. That's why, by God's grace, I ask him every day, clean hands and a pure heart. I don't know if you've read our magazine from the Southern Union. What is it? The Tithings. A couple of good stories there this week dealing with clean hands and a pure heart. The first story, and just briefly I'm going to tell you, is about one of our students, at nursing students at Southern Adventist University. When the book or the blood mobile would come to the school and give the students an opportunity to donate blood. Now, hers were O negative, I think. And they found out that, and hers was a rare type of blood, I'm presuming. So they come and asked her, would she consider making a bone marrow, donation. So she thought, well, who would want bone marrow? And she says, yes, I'll do it, and not thinking it through. And it was just a few weeks later, they says, oh, we've got a man that he's going to die, but we need your bone marrow, and we would like to do some tests. And if it's if these tests show that your bone marrow will work with him, then would you consider doing it? And she says, why, yes. And then, of course, she had to go through a whole lot of watching videos to prepare for this, and they told her that it was going to be very painful. And she thought, if I can save a life, I'm willing to do it. She gave the bone marrow, and for weeks and weeks, it just hurt her. And nobody called, and she didn't know, you know, what happened. But one day, they called and said that the man was sent home from the hospital to his family today. He is well. She was so excited. She took her purse, went shopping, and when she bent over, she felt the pain in her back and in her side. And she said, I was never so glad for pain before in my life, because every time now it happens, it reminds me that I saved someone's life. So that is certainly a pure heart, don't you think? Another story was about one of the little churches. They made these bags of love for children when their parents are taken off to jail because of drugs or some other reason, and the kids are left to go in foster homes. They take these bags of love. There's a blanket, and there's different things, toothbrush, personal items. They put in this bag, and they give it to the social workers, and the police department has one in the back of their car. And they went to some methamphetamine house, and they found a little baby was almost dead. It was neglected. Only thing it had on was a diaper. And when they would touch the baby, it would just go stiff. But they took this nice warm blanket and put around it. And the only way that baby would not go rigid and stiff was when the blanket was around it. It was the first warm thing that this baby felt. And anyhow, as you can read the story there. It just happened to be that the social worker was somewhere and telling this story. And the lady who heard it, she says, I wonder, did it come from our church? And they went back and looked under the corner, and sure enough, it was the blankets that they had prepared by their little church group that helped this little baby. So it's a wonderful story to have clean hands and a pure heart. And, of course, to partake in these emblems. To not have clean hands and a pure heart, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. So my prayer and my desire is that we as a church we as a church, we would be like Jesus. And we would grow to be more like Him each and every day. And as we partake in these emblems this morning, the foot washing service, you know, to wash away the alienation, the sin, in every sense of the word. When brothers and sisters have hardness of hearts or something happens, to be able to come and wash each other's feet, it's a wonderful, liberating experience. Forgiveness takes place. You have been made cleansed. You have been cleansed. Then, of course, to partake in the wine representing Christ's spilt blood. And, of course, we know that Scripture tells us the life is in the blood. And, of course, symbolically, we eat and drink Christ's body. He is alive and well through us. May God bless us today as we participate in these emblems. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now separate.